Blessed Resurrection Sunday, my friends. I know in the West we call it Easter, but throughout the world they call it the Great Feast of the Resurrection. And what a celebration it is. The grave could not hold him, and he rose. And we rose with him from the graves of sin and rebellion into being assured of the resurrection of our own bodies with him in heaven for eternity. I hope you're going to stay tuned to the four most powerful words in this Resurrection Sunday. And as you listen to this message, I pray that you are praying and asking God, how can you go and tell of what you have seen and experienced? Stay tuned.
All of us, just about, have very vivid memories of events that are important in our lives. Events such as the birth of our children. Those are indelible in the cortex of our brain. We'll never forget the hospitals in which you're born, the doctors, the nurses, and the environment and the atmosphere in which all of this. And we talk about these events to our children and tell them about it until they get sick of it. And then we tell their children of how their parents were born. But we remember other events in our lives as well. How many of us would remember being glued to the television and watching first man landing on the moon? How often do we talk about where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? Those things are indelible in our brain. And it goes on and on and on in terms of events in our lives and how we remember them. And so I want you now to imagine with me how these women who had an encounter with the angel in Matthew 28, how they remembered vividly and they repeated verbatim the words that the angel said to them. These events became indelible in their minds and hearts. These events that they saw and heard with their eyes and ears, it became their consuming passion. And to begin with, they were shocked because they were not prepared to go and see a resurrected Jesus. That's far from their minds. After all, they really came to the garden tomb with the spices, according to the Jewish tradition, to anoint the dead body of Jesus. No doubt they were thinking about a whole lot of things. Resurrection was not one of them. Things like, well, how are we going to explain this custom of anointing the body with spice to these Italian soldiers, these Roman soldiers, these foreigners? They don't understand our Jewish custom. How are we going to get them to help us move the stone so we can get in and put those spices on the body? But when they came in and they saw the stone already moved, no doubt looked at this fearsome-looking creature, whom we call an angel, standing there, and their worries gave way to fright. Put yourself in their place. And that is why the first thing the angel said to them, what? Fear not. Those creatures are very fearsome looking. They terrify people. And that is why every time, whether they come to Mary or to Joseph, whenever they appear, the first thing they say, don't be afraid. Here the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he's risen, as he told you so. And then the angel goes on to give them four imperative words. Following the angel's declaration that Jesus had risen from the dead, he tells them something that it must absolutely heighten their memory. These imperative words must have sharpened their senses to a razor edge. Four imperative words in Matthew 28, 6 and 7, particularly those two verses. What are these four imperatives? Here they are. Come, see, go, tell. Can you say them with me? Come, see, go, tell. The first imperative, the word come, and for 40 years nearly in the ordained ministry, I have dedicated my life to inviting people to come and meet the risen Lord. Come to him and experience life that is really worthy of the name. To come to the resurrected Jesus and receive eternal life. Come to the resurrected Jesus and experience power for living here and now. Come to the resurrected Jesus and experience joy even in the midst of the toughest of circumstances. Come and experience peace of the resurrected Lord in the midst of fear and trouble. Come to the resurrected Jesus and receive the only forgiveness and release from guilt and shame that only He can give you. Come to the resurrected Jesus and receive the assurance of eternal life in heaven. For that's the only way. It's the only way. Now, in inviting people to come to the resurrected Jesus, I've heard just about every excuse in the book. I really have. I heard everything. Why they don't want to come to the resurrected Jesus. No doubt these women who were invited by the angel to come to the empty tomb, they were probably thinking of all sorts of obstacles. They were thinking about the fear of darkness. After all, this tomb is dark. And then they were probably thinking in their mind, you know, what about these soldiers? I mean, these Roman soldiers are renowned for lobbing your head off for no reason at all. What about Pilate's order to seal the tomb? What are they going to do about that? The seal is broken. The stone has moved. What if they get accused of doing it? This is a capital crime. They could go to prison. They could be killed. They broke the Roman law. All of these obstacles, all these hindrances. And today, my beloved friend, listen to me, please. On this Resurrection Sunday, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is inviting you. Come. Come to me. Come to me. And what is your excuse? What is your excuse? As I said, I heard every excuse in the book. The church is full of hypocrites. I said, I agree with you. Please come and join us. We have room for one more. Oh, the church is just a big business. Sure, but we're not inviting you to come to our church. We're inviting you to come to the risen Lord. For He is the only one who can save you and give you eternal life. Someone would say, oh, I've got a lot of living to do before I become religious. Are you kidding? We hate religion. We're not into religion. I'm against religion. Religions kill, but Jesus gives life. Listen to me, until you come to the resurrected Jesus, you don't know what living is all about. Whatever obstacle that you have been placing for coming to Christ, the risen Lord, whatever excuse you're making, today you can come to the risen Lord. Today you can come to Him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, He said, come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is the only one who can make that promise. He's the only one who can give that invitation. He's the only one who can deliver on that invitation. He's the only one who can deliver on that promise because He died and rose again. And so the first imperative is come. 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 The second imperative is see. See the place where they laid Him. In that magnificent tomb that belonged to a wealthy man, Joseph of Arimathea. Why is seeing was very important? Why is that? Why don't you just say, come? He said, come and see. Well, I want you to think with me, okay? He was not just an ordinary man to whom death is just natural. No. He is God of very God. He is God's only Son. He is the only one who is the promised Messiah. He is the only one who existed in the Godhead since all eternity. He is equal with the Father in power. He's equal in glory. And yet He chose to lay aside that power, to lay aside that glory and become a man and live among us. Why? Why did He do that? So that He may save everyone who would come to Him, to the resurrected Lord. Oh, what a magnificent God we have. To lay aside His glory and splendor that is He's been in it since eternity, had no beginning and no end. Yes. And when you look at that empty grave, you see something else. Not only that, you see God humbled Himself and became man. But you'll see the horror of my sin and yours. The horror of our sins. The horror of that sin, that rebellion, that wanting to go our own way, wanting to think that we're going to be saved our own way, that we're going to make it to heaven based on our work. That is the root of sin. All the other sins are the fruit of that one. And yet, he was sinless. He's the only one who's ever lived that lived for 33 1/3 of a year, totally sinless. Never once did he demand his own way. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. And he did exactly that. And yet, he died a sinner's death in your place, and in mine, so that anyone who would come to him in humility and in brokenness and said, Lord, I blew it. He said, all right, now you're saved. You're forgiven. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 700 years, prophesied about him as follows in 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. But also when you see the empty tomb, you see the nature of sin. How offensive it is to God. Make no mistake about it. The Roman nails did not hold him and fast him to that cross. It's your sin and mine that did. It's his love for us that did. And that is why those of us who have come to the risen Christ sought forgiveness and received it from his hand, we have a natural hatred to sin. We never hate anybody. We never hate anyone. But we hate sin because we know the nature of that sin, what it did to our Lord. But there is something else that you see in that empty tomb. And it is this. That one day, all of us are going to die. Every one of us are going to die. There's a time for all of us when we're going to be separated from our loved ones. We're going to be separated from our friends. We're going to be separated from everything that we knew in this life. We're going to be separated from our material possessions. We're going to be separated. And when you look at the empty tomb, you remember and I remember our mortality. Ah, but we see that there is life beyond the grave. You see the necessity of preparing for that life after the grave by coming to Christ and receiving his forgiveness. We see the importance of knowing that there can only two places in which every one of us is going to go, to one or the other, either in glory with Jesus Christ reign and rule supreme, or that the eternal place of torment with Satan. Only two places that you can go. That's why he left heaven. That's why he came. If all the ways lead to God, why did Jesus leave heaven and come and die on a cross? That would be a mockery. Amen? And that is why it is vitally important to ask yourself the all-important question. If I die today, would I go to heaven? And if I go make it to heaven, on what basis will God let me in? Good works? The Bible said, the best of our good works is like a dirty rag in his sight. The only basis on which we can make it to heaven is Jesus Christ. But there's something else that you see when you look at that empty tomb. It's the most important thing of all. When you look at the empty tomb, you see a humble God who humbled himself and took a nature of man. When you look at the empty tomb, you see the horror of sin. When you look at the empty tomb, you remember that we all must die. When you look at the empty tomb, you'll see Jesus not in it. That's the most important thing of all. Jesus is not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. He physically, bodily, with the power of the resurrection, rose from the death, never to die again. Then death is defeated once and for all. Death has no victory over us anymore. This is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, all the founders of so-called great religions are dead as doornails. Jesus' tomb is empty. And that is why he's the only one who can save us eternally, because he defeated death. Only the person who defeated death, only the person who destroyed the power of death, only the person who has power over death can assure us of our own life, eternal life. He's the only one who could do it. Let me ask you a question. Is there a prophet or a guru or a founder of a religion who has defeated death? Any of them rose from the dead? Then how, pray tell me, can they help anyone or give anyone power over death when they are powerless in the face of death? How can they give life beyond the grave when they are dead themselves? The only one who can promise you paradise in heaven with him is the one who defeated death and rose from the grave. Amen. 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 Give God glory. Amen. And the evidence of the resurrection is not only recorded by Christian historians, it was recorded by Jewish historians, Josephus for one. The Talmud talks about it. The resurrected Jesus was seen by hundreds of people, upward of 500, after he rose from the grave. He lived with them for 40 days. And that is why many of them welcomed death with open arms, because they knew the moment they closed their eyes in death, they're going to be with Jesus in heaven forever. Amen. They saw the resurrected Jesus, and their cowardness and their fear gave way to courage and faith. For they saw the empty tomb, because they were assured that their tomb too is going to be empty. You know, the Jewish leaders tried to come up with all kinds of concocted theories and ideas. Well, you know, his disciples stole the body, the enemies stole the body. And ever since that time, there are some brain-dead folks who are always coming in and said, oh, this must have happened. There's so many theories about the resurrection. They just do not want to accept the supernatural power of God to raise his son from the grave. How can he raise us if he was not raised from the dead? He rose, just as he promised, the angel said. Above all, seeing the empty tomb and knowing the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ tells us that everyone who comes to him and put their whole faith in him, put their trust in him, receive him as Savior and Lord, everyone who does that will be raised from the dead too. First imperative is what? Come. Second imperative? The third and the fourth imperatives, I put them together, because they are for those who came and saw. That's why they go together. Now, those of us who have experienced the removal of the stone of doubt and fear in our lives, those of us who have experienced the risen Christ breaking down the seal of sin and the chain of addictions and the horrors and the shame of sin, those of us who have experienced him scattering all of these soldiers of doubt and fear and selfishness in our lives, the only one thing left for us to do is to go and tell. Amen. Go and tell the great news. And the great news, the greatest news in all the world and all time, is Jesus rose from the dead, and he's inviting you to come and receive that power of resurrection in your life today. That's the best news of all. The greatest news today in the midst of so many bad news is that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered death, and God appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world, the Bible said, by this man Jesus, and to give an evidence that he is going to be the judge of all the world. He raised him from the dead. The time of ignorance God has overcome, the Bible said. But he commands everyone everywhere to repent, for he has appointed that day. And if you've never come to him, today is your day. Today is your day. You can come to him. Come. See. Go. Tell. The power of the resurrection is not meant for us to hoard and keep secret in our lives. It is meant for us to go out to the world and tell the world that Jesus rose from the dead. I pray that this would be your testimony in the days to come.
Thank you, Dr. Youssef. And speaking of testimonies, recently our team received a letter from an inmate in a United States prison. His words touched the hearts of many at our home office, and we thought it would be an encouragement to you as well. Joshua Youssef, our Executive Vice President at Leading the Way, reads the letter, and then Jonathan Youssef, our International Director, shares some thoughts on how this letter really reflects the mission of Leading the Way, the mission to passionately proclaim uncompromising truth. Let's listen.
Dear Leading the Way, my name is Arthur. I listen to you on American Family Radio, and I come away with each sermon that passes more and more enlightened about the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus. I've been a believer and I accepted Jesus when I was about 18, but I fell into a life of gangs, drugs, and sex. I've been in and out of prison since I was 18, and I'm truly sick and tired of that life. I'm so sad and hurt about my old life now. I'm now no longer a part of a gang, and I've repented of my sins, but I still have so many issues to deal with the help of Jesus. Can you please pray for me, Mr. Youssef? I do a lot of praying for the will of God in your ministry, that He blesses it much more. I wish so bad I could send money to help too, but I'm in prison. So all I can do is pray for my fellow believers. I love you all and thank you so much, Mr. Youssef, for what you do for the Lord. God bless you and your family, and I'll be praying for you. It is such a blessing to listen to you. Sincerely, Arthur.
At Leading the Way, we don't turn a blind eye to the downcast and the downtrodden in society. You know, we want them to hear the same gospel message. There's no difference because at the foot of the cross, that ground is level.
You know, we're not a prison ministry per se, but God has given us favor in this area with unique content plus this unique device, these solar-powered navigators, the MP3 devices.
So we've been able to distribute navigator devices in English into prisons in Zambia, Algeria, and Libya, and Saudi Arabia, and Indonesia, and India. Sometimes I think they just sit and write letters all day because they'll tell us exactly what sermon they heard, what point meant the most to them, how they're growing in their faith. They're going to be more open to hearing new things and because they're going to be searching for answers.
We really can't do this without you. If you're a supporter, we thank you. If you've never supported, we hope that you will begin to help us reach people in spiritual darkness as we passionately proclaim uncompromising truth.
A passionate challenge to live and love for Christ today. You're listening to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Dr. Youssef is passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth around the world through the media of radio, television, as well as other cutting-edge technologies, so millions more can be introduced to the supernatural love only available through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We want to invite you to partner with us on that mission. Become a monthly fellowship partner today, and you'll become a vital part in taking the gospel message to the homes of people who are just like you, but in nations like India and China, in continents like South America, and in areas of the Middle East where, frankly, sound biblical teaching is rare. Plus, right now, Dr. Youssef is sending out a copy of Why the Cross? This is a very special series. In it, you'll see how, from the first pages of Genesis, when man fell into sin, throughout the entire Old Testament, each life story, every law, every sacrifice that was put into place pointed clearly to the cross. And right now, Why the Cross is Dr. Youssef's gift for all new monthly fellowship partners with Leading the Way. Here's how you can learn more. Bonus, toll free, 866-626-4356. You can also visit leadingtheway.org. Once again, that toll free number is 866-626-4356 and the website leadingtheway.org. Okay, when we hear the music, we know it's time for me to tell you goodbye and thank you for being with us today. Do make plans to join us next time right here for another Leading the Way. And remember, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Leading the Way is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.